Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing, and we've been wanting to see this one for a little while now, ever since it was actually introduced. The movie's called Long Legs. It's written and directed by Oz Perkins, starring Micah Monroe as Agent Lee Harker, Nick Cage as Long Legs, and Blair Underwood as Agent Carter. The plot is, in pursuit of a serial killer, an FBI agent uncovers a series of occult clues that she must solve to end his terrifying killing spree. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror, and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years, and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us, and like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local, too. They're based out of Connecticut, so help them out. Support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. With that said, 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Long Legs?
Steve, as you know, I've been looking forward to this for over a year now. Actually, we both have when we first started seeing that viral marketing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even as we talk about this a day after seeing it, I cannot stop thinking about every single scene in this movie. Again, viral marketing has been absolutely amazing. Never seen anything like it before. When it ended, you and I literally both sat in our seats for a while just digesting what we saw because we felt pretty gutted as the credits literally rolled backwards. And I mean, even at dinner, we couldn't stop talking about it. And this was honestly one of the most unsettling, gut-wrenching films I've ever watched.
Yeah, at the end of it, you and I just sat there, just kind of took it in. We were thinking maybe that there's going to be after credits. So we sat there and we hung out just in case. Dude, that movie theater was packed. There was a lot of people in there.
Yeah, you and I were both shocked at how many people were there.
Like, I had a feeling that there was going to be a good amount of people because I looked at the parking lot and I saw some people that kind of wore the same clothes as us, that type deal. I'm like, all right, we got a few people here that are, like, speaking our language. And then when we got in, we're like, fuck, okay, I guess we're sitting in the way back. And people were starting to come in and they couldn't find seats. So they're like, ah, fuck. You know, trying to figure out, because you usually like to do the one person or one chair in between type deal. A lot of people were trying to do that and failing miserably. So it was pretty packed.
People were like borderline almost sitting in the front of the theater because there was nowhere else to sit.
So obviously great marketing. I mean, people going in the theater because this is actually a day early. Well, it was meant to drop on Friday, July 12th. But we actually saw it on Thursday, July 11th. That's what they do, I believe, when it comes to movies. They get the reactions and then it comes out. They often do that for viral marketing, you know, when they take video of the theater, people are like, oh my God, those reaction videos. I think they do that like the night before or like a few nights before.
I don't know, man, because I was seeing like reviews and stuff of this 2 weeks ago.
We got to get on that list.
Yep, agreed. We got to contact Nick Cage or something.
Hail Satan!
Yep.
Nick Cage, man, in all his glory in this movie, he was awesome as Long Legs. I loved his character. I thought he was great. He was unrecognizable.
So unrecognizable, and the fact that they've been teasing this movie for literally a year and nobody knew up until 2 weeks ago when the pre-screenings happened what he looked like.
Right.
Because we were talking about this before, but I guess Oz Perkins had requested that Nick Cage's face not be used in any of the promotional material, not be used in any of the trailers, like nothing.
And that's a smart way to go about it because the movie, it kind of revolves around the character of Long Legs. Right. But he's not on camera a lot. It's mostly revolves around Lee and her partner, Agent Carter, who are just kind of going through and trying to solve this whole mystery of Longlegs. Because the way it is, he kills families. But the thing is, there's no sign of any break-in, no DNA. Each kill is kind of different, so there's no exact MO. But they all kind of happen on the same day, which is like the 14th of a month. So there's basically no signs that he was ever in the house to commit these murders. They just know that he's the one doing it because he's sending out these letters like he's Zodiac.
Yeah, and that's like one of the craziest parts about this movie, I think, is because you have the plot of them going after a serial killer named Longlegs.
Right.
Longlegs is not killing people.
He's not at all.
It's literally like a Charlie Manson thing.
It really is. And yeah, we're going to get into all that. It's going to be spoiler city tonight, people. But it's at the beginning of the podcast. We say it's going to be a spoiler because,
yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about enough to maybe not give away everything. But the ending, man, we got to talk about it because it's absurd. When I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, this is going off the rails a little bit. This is kind of crazy. And I couldn't tell whether it was crazy good or crazy, like, what the fuck's happening right now? You know, I was kind of going in between the two. So I might have been looking at it kind of like pessimistically when that shit was happening. It was cool, but I'm like, this is so fucking out of the left field. How is this even happening? So we'll kind of go through. And I somehow miraculously took notes last night.
Yeah. So again, we got to tell the people that when Steve and I go to the movies together, I can't remember a fucking thing really to write down notes.
Right.
I woke up this morning and I looked at our shared drive thing and Steve had written a fucking book of notes of this movie we had just watched. And I texted him immediately. I'm like, I'm really impressed. Legit, like, paragraphs of notes.
Yeah, it's not like paraphrase. It's legit. There's crazy amounts of bullet points. You know what it is? It's the way my mind works that I remember visual stuff. But if you were to say something to me in passing, I probably won't remember it. And it gets me in a lot of trouble, but if you were to fucking wave something in front of me, I'll remember that shit. And it's how my brain works.
Yeah, very impressive.
Thank you. That actually made my morning, by the way.
That's good. Don't get used to it.
All right, fine. but that's my genius on display, everyone. So, yeah, we're starting to get to this point where, actually, we'll just kind of circle back because we're starting to see that this girl, Lee, who is kind of the main focus of the movie, she's going after Longlegs, but she's got a very Agent Starling type feel to her from like the Silence of the Lambs. So she seems like she's kind of the new person because when they're in the room and they're trying to go house to house and try to find this person, immediately I'm thinking they're going for Longlegs. But it turns out they're actually trying to find someone else. And it's kind of setting up the whole idea of her being, I guess, half psychic. Like, they talked about her being half psychic, I guess, because she knew specifically what house to go to where this other killer was that, you know, just shot her partner right in the face as soon as he, like, knocked on the door. She looked at the house and she's like, he lives there. And the guy's like, oh, you're going to go on a hunch? Okay. And he goes in and gets his face shot off. So now we're going into this whole realm of, is she a psychic? We're getting into paranormal territory. So her partner gets shot in the face. She finds this other killer, and now she's going from basically recruit to now she's, like, actually on the Longlegs case with her new partner, Carter.
So, dude, I gotta say, though, like, when they were first walked up to that house because they got that tip that the person they were looking for was there, I was completely surprised. This dude just reaches out of the door and shoots her partner in the face.
Dude, it caught me so off guard. It kind of made me jump.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. We didn't expect it, but, like, did you notice how many people in the theater actually jumped at that part?
Yes, I did, because it came, like, so out of left field. You didn't think it was going to happen. You thought that maybe your typical shit, like, knock on the door opens or whatever, but this was straight up, door opens, boom, shot to the face, that's it for him, and she goes in and, like, she captures the guy. So that's how they kind of set her up to be, okay, she's special. We're going to get her on this assignment. But they were still kind of going in the sense of she's not prepared for this or that type deal. Because when she was in the car with Carter and they're looking at this house where a whole family was murdered by Longlegs, his other partner, it was this other girl, she's like, is she ready for this? And he's like, don't worry about her. She's fine. So she's still new to this, apparently. That's what I'm guessing. I mean, she had a fucking office with no furniture in it. So I'm thinking she's probably brand new to this.
Yeah, no furniture yet. She literally slept on the floor.
Yeah, she wanted to go see the house and stuff like that. And instead, he was just like, you know what, let's go back to the office and you can take a look at the files. So he gives her the files. She's in her office. All the fucking files are spread out and she's finding like clues and everything like that. And then she falls asleep, gets up. They go out for a drink. Now, this is important because Carter brings Lee to his house to meet the family, to meet the mother and the daughter. And now the daughter is asking if Lee wants to go to her birthday party coming up. This is all important because it comes back later. It's not like just a kind of a throwaway thing, right? It actually circles back to those references.
Yeah, this is about the time we find out, well, Lee figures out what his algorithm is.
Right, exactly. So she figures out like the algorithm because Longlegs leaves a letter at her house. Like he knocks on the door. He knows where she lives, apparently. He knows she's a part of this whole thing, even though she just hopped on. So does he know her to begin with, or has he just really been closely following this whole case? Who knows? But he knocks on the door. She goes outside, panicked. He walks in there, drops off a letter, and fucking disappears in the night. And that's when she actually starts figuring out his algorithm and looking at this card. She determines that everyone's dying on the 14th of a month. That's like the connection between everyone. And it's all families. It's all the husband killing everyone. So one thing I didn't mention, though, is that Lee was on the phone with her mother before Longlegs hopped in. And it's important that we talk about the mother as well, because she's actually an integral part of this story. And I didn't think she was going to be at first.
Same.
I thought it was just going to be like, you know, there was like a bad relationship between the two and she just calls her whenever and just kind of thrown in there. So, yeah, I thought it was just kind of a throwaway thing. But the good thing about this movie is pretty much everything that happens, happens for a reason. It all leads to one thing or another. Nothing is really thrown away. It all has a purpose. And I do like that, like, when directors do that. They make sure that everything within the movie has a purpose. Otherwise, it's pointless.
So, speaking of making things having a purpose, this scene in particular where she's at her home, she's working on her desk, and she gets that phone call, and she hears that voice. And this is true through the whole movie, but the sound design was insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
They relied on sound design so much because she can hear Longlegs whispering to her.
Yeah.
Also, the scene here when she thinks she hears Longlegs and she goes outside, you must have hit the fucking ceiling when you could see Longlegs behind her walking through the house.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was a little freaked out about it. I'm like, I don't like this.
And she turns around and she sees him and like goes in the house and he's not there anymore, but she finds that letter on her desk.
And I think we've talked about this before, about how invasion films kind of get to me.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that, I was like, oh, that's creepy. Not a fan. But that's the whole idea. It's kind of hitting all the aspects. So this movie, to me, had a feel of Silence of the Lambs. And you brought up a good one. Seven.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. With the detectives. One's a seasoned vet. One's like the new one. And they're trying to solve the serial killer. It had a similar aspect, which Seven is a masterpiece. I love Seven. I actually have that on Blu-ray, too, because it's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Great, you can't go wrong with that one. Can't go wrong with that. It's got one of the best endings in movie history, in my opinion. You don't expect it. It's completely left field. It's a massive twist. It's chaos. It's pure chaos. So I love that scene. And the funny thing is, it was supposed to be a dog initially. A dog's head or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They decided that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, it's a dumb ending. and then to have his wife's head in a box is so much better. I mean, it's not a good thing to have, but I'm just saying, like, for an ending, that made way more of an impact.
Yeah, it's good for the shock factor. I think the dog's head, they would have got, like, boycotted or some shit, and the movie definitely would not have been as big as it is.
Exactly.
It still is.
Yeah, the scene would not have been talked about to this day. And that movie's come out 25 years ago, I think, at this point. Been a while. Brad Pitt looks much older now. But back to Longlegs. So, yes, it did
1995.
Have 1995?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Okay, so that is, wow, almost 30 years. It's 28 years. No, 29 years. Fuck. It's crazy to think that. All right, so she gets the letter, and then she's actually ended up called into another murder. So another murder happens, but the family's been fucking hanging out there for a month. Dead, super dead, ultra dead, uppercase D-E-D dead.
Oh, man. Covered in maggots.
As soon as I heard dead family a month, I'm looking at Corey and he's like salivating because like we're fully expecting a dead kid at this point. And we didn't see the dead kid. We saw like the mother who had maggots all over her, but I think they kind of kept the kid out of it.
Yeah, we never saw a dead kid, unfortunately, but they implied that there was a dead kid.
Yeah, there were a lot of dead kids involved in this movie, but never shown. And I think that was one thing that was kind of missing for me, because you would think with this many kills, you would see more deaths. And we started seeing one of them. There was like one family in particular they kept going back to where the husband was using an axe and he like killed a priest and then he killed his wife.
So that's the one they kept showing in the trailer.
Yes.
Because they made you think that the father was long legs, because you kind of see him in the background of the original trailer just hacking someone up with an axe in the middle of a doorway. And people were like, fuck, that's Nick Cage.
Nope, definitely wasn't. I feel like they would have given it way too fast in the trailer if that was the fucking case. They'd be like, oh, that's long legs. All right, movie's done. That type deal. But not the case. So we see, I guess we see really just two families dead. Other than that, yeah, that's kind of all we see. We just have to go off of the information they're providing us, that there's, how many families, was it 40? 40 families involved?
Throughout his whole, like, we'll say reign.
Right. Reign, that's a good term.
Because this spanned over many, many years.
Yeah, exactly. And they're starting to think that, you know, he may not be the only one doing this shit, because that's a lot of work. There's a lot involved to kill a whole family and look like you weren't even there.
Yeah, Lee just starts assuming that he has an accomplice.
Right, which makes sense. And usually there always is an accomplice, especially with like that much killing. Always is. Well, I mean, in movies. But in real life, there's just some straight serial killers out there who are just killing 40, 50 people. But it's not families. It's just singular people. So, but if it was families, it can't be just one person friggin' destroying a whole family. That's not a thing. Multiple people would jump on the guy. But who knows? So yeah, at this point now, Lee's thinking that there's more than one person involved. And then we find out there's actually one actual survivor from Longlegs. And it was this girl that just happened to come home and see basically her whole family dead. And obviously things did not turn out too well for her. She went to a mental institution.
Speaking of that, the scene at the mental institution was pretty amazing. The conversation between her and Lee was like fucking spine tingling.
It was. Now, let me ask you this. Do you feel that this scene was all that necessary?
I think it helped because I've seen many movies where there's a survivor of like a serial killer or, I don't know, a terrorist attack or something like that. The police will go and interview this character to see if they can get any information from them. And I think that's what happened here. Lee went to talk to Carrie Ann, was her name, which, holy shit, I'm looking at IMDb right now and I just realized who that was that played her.
Who was it?
Kiernan Shipka, which she played Sabrina in the Netflix remake. And also she was in that movie Totally Killer. Did you watch that?
No, I didn't see Totally Killer.
She was Sabrina in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix. That's the first time I had heard of her. And then Totally Killer. And she's actually in Twisters.
Twisters.
But yeah, anyways,
We were walking out of the theater and I saw the Twisters poster. I was going to make a lame joke and I'm like, I don't know if that thing's going to fall flat. Stop myself. But no, I was going to make a dumb joke about Twister with like extra S's or something, because that's what they do in movies now. They just add an S on to like the movie and then it's like a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, Screams.
Fuck. Don't say that. That's what the next one will be called. It won't be Scream 7. It'll be Screams.
Yeah, exactly. Hollywood's just listening to me anyways. They know.
Yeah. Well, if that happens, I'm going to blame you and this will be out there permanently. So people are going to get your ass canceled.
Yeah. Whatever, then they'll see that I'm the prophet.
Yeah, sometimes that's not a good thing, Steve, especially in this case.
I guess I gotta start a cult, don't I?
Hey, we've seen enough cult movies, you could.
I know a thing or two.
We could call it the Cult of Corn.
Fuck yeah, man. Children of the Corn. Let's fucking go.
It's too easy.
It is too easy. Way too easy. Yeah, I don't know if I've got the chops to run a cult.
You know what someone said to me about the Godless episode? They said, we could tell you like this movie a lot because you didn't go on any rants.
Oh,
like ramble about anything else other than the movie.
That's a good point. You know, that happens. Like sometimes we just go off on these tangents on movies that we're like, they're okay. We've done it though before on some really good movies. But I think we just get so fucking sidetracked with one thing and it's our ADD is just going ballistic.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
That's all it is. It's not like we hate the movie or anything, but yeah, we did like Godless. It was good.
So one of these days when we want to take a week off, we'll release whatever episode it was where we talked about porridge for 30 minutes.
People are going to be like, this is the dumbest fucking episode I've ever heard in my life.
No wonder they didn't release this shit.
Yeah, because like we were talking about porridge and we were talking about all sorts of shit, man.
Yeah.
It was a half hour tangent of, oh yeah, we got to get back to a movie.
I don't even remember what movie it was, but it was one of the first ones we did.
Like, we got them all backed up, man. I'll Perfect. Release it.
So, anyways, this movie here, right? So we're talking about the use of interviewing, like, survivors. I think this particular case worked in her favor because Lee was able to get more information about Long Legs and how Carrie Ann survived. But Carrie Ann was kind of a bitch.
She kind of sucked. But also, you know, you're right. I think it did lead over to the barn where that's when they found the doll.
Is that where she learned the X marks the spot thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so she learned about X marks the spot, and then, you know, they went to that barn, and I believe that's where her family was killed. So they're walking around, they see, like, the X's on the barn, and that's when they go upstairs, and they find under the, like, a floorboard was a doll. And, like, obviously, the on top of the floorboard was a cross for some reason, even though, that you know, Hail Satan for fucking Nick Cage all day.
So this is the first time we see the dolls, too, and I didn't think it was a doll at first. I thought they just found a fucking human hiding in the floor.
Dude, it looks so good.
Or a body.
It looked like a regular body, but apparently Longlegs is quite the doll maker. And with that, as doll makers do, they have to go to craft stores. And then we see the unveiling of Longlegs. And to me, I felt like this was the most anticlimactic unveiling of Longlegs.
Oh, the cuckoo thing?
Yeah.
It wasn't awful, but I don't know. Like, because that girl knew who he was, because I'm assuming he's been there before.
Yeah. I feel like...
she said, didn't she call her dad in and she was like, Daddy, that creepy guy is here again or something like that?
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah, Dad, the creepy guy's here again. So he was just hanging out, like picking up some stuff for his dolls, and he's doing this cuckoo thing over his face and then unveils himself. And next up, we see him in the car and we get the, per usual, Nick Cage freak out in the car. And it was great. He's just screaming, Mommy! Daddy! Yeah,
that was awesome. Driving in his old ass station wagon.
Yep. Oh, it's so good. I love when Nicolas Cage does these fucking freakouts. It's like his go-to move in movies, you know? Owen Wilson has, wow. Nick Cage has anything fucking yelling.
He just starts screaming, yep.
Just starts screaming something, crazy-eyed, goes ballistic. He has to do it in every single movie, and I love it. It's great. So I got a good kick out of that. But I was thinking that, so they went with this marketing for Micah, right? They were measuring her heartbeat because the first time she saw Longlegs was in the interrogation room. And that was part of the marketing, was her heartbeat raising as she's about to go see Longlegs.
I watched an interview with Oz Perkins about that actually today. And he was talking about, because people were like, what do you mean that was the first time she saw him in makeup? He was saying that, I think he said 2 weeks they filmed with Micah. They did all her stuff in 2 weeks. Okay. And then they called in Nick Cage to do all or some of his stuff or whatever, vice versa.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought it was weird that was the first time that she had ever seen him in full makeup.
Right.
But somehow they made it work where she was surprised and all that was very real.
It was very real.
Oh, my God. I love reading the trivia on IMDb.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Despite the film taking place during January in Oregon, it's still light outside when a clock reading 6:30 p.m. is visible. In reality, the sun would have set before 5 p.m.
Whoops.
Trivia, Oz Perkins' request of not using Nicolas Cage on the posters or in the trailer, despite him playing the titular character, led to Neon coming up with a creative plan to promote and sell the movie without depending on Cage.
Well, that's a good idea. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't push too much that he was in it. So here's what I was thinking. I think the unveiling of Longlegs should have been the interrogation. And that's when you're like, oh, fuck, he's fucking creepy looking. But instead, we got the cuckoo clock unveiling, which, all right, it doesn't destroy anything. I think I would have just held it up even longer and then have it like a big unveiling. This one just felt like it was a little unveiling. They almost did at the beginning, though. And by the way, I was about to lose my shit at the beginning of this movie.
The screen size?
Oh, my God.
I know. We looked at each other and we were like, is the fucking screen broken? What's happening?
Dude, I was so freaked out. Because here's how the movie starts, everyone. And just so you're not freaked out. So the movie starts off as this fucking small square. And I think it's meant to look kind of like, not like a Polaroid, but, you know, like film. You know, kind of that shape.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So that's what it looked like. It was kind of that shape. And it was like 1/3 of the screen in the theater. It was very small. and Corey and I are sitting in the way back. Not to mention, the screen was already off anyways. So,
oh my God, I was irritated. You told me, like, because after the screen went back to, like, a normal size, it was still fucked up, and I'm assuming that's because of the theater.
Yes, it is because of the theater, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. I gotta fucking get a job there and be like, all right, I'm the new projectionist. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll make sure shit is aligned.
Teach them how to center a fucking picture, because that's not the first time we've gone there. The last time we went there for Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
There were fucking dead pixels in the screen.
Dead pixels, and I think they also had a little bit of an alignment issue, too. I mean, nowhere near as bad as this one, but holy shit. This was bad. It must have been 3 feet difference from the top to the movie.
It was brutal.
It was
There was
brutal.
So much screen real estate that they didn't use because the asshole running the projector couldn't center it.
He clearly doesn't care. And he's probably some fucking kid from high school. He's like, all right, I'll just hit play and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about that. How hard is it to raise up the projector? It can't be that hard.
You think they'd like test this shit out before, because that was the only showing that day of that movie.
Yeah,
right?
It was the only showing at 7 p.m.
Yeah, so like, why did they have such difficulty centering the fucking projector? I don't get it.
No clue whatsoever. It was very odd. Either way, it started off as that small square. So I'm like, okay, we have 3 feet from the top of the screen. And now we've got like 6 feet maybe on each side. I was just like, I hope to God this movie is not this small. Because then you and I would actually have to get up and fucking move closer to watch this movie.
Are you saying that because we're old and we wouldn't have been able to see it or something?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would want, when I go to the theaters, I want to see it on the big screen. I'm thinking, like, based on the size of that, I'm just like, you know, if I had this movie, I would just watch it at home because my fucking TV is about the same size as what this is being displayed on right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up going, like, full width, luckily. Still 3 feet from the top, but there was full width.
Yeah, and after complaining about it to you for a while, you were like, you'll get used to it. And I mean, I did. I got used to it and kind of forgot about it. But it was definitely hard to adjust just to only seeing basically half of the movie.
Yeah, it took some time to get used to. But let's circle back. We find the doll and they decide to do, it's almost like an autopsy. They had someone open the doll up and see if there was anything in there. And they found this orb inside the doll. It was just a ball, completely empty, when Lee was looking at it, because remember how I said Lee apparently has some sort of psychic ability. She was looking at it and she's seeing all these visions of snakes and blood and all this stuff. Very satanic cult imagery. She's seeing that. So something is important with this orb, but we just don't know. Because the guy that cut the doll open, he's just like, it's just an empty orb. There's nothing inside. We could open it up, but there wouldn't be anything there. Turns out, I believe there is something in that orb, or in every single orb going forward.
You and I talked about this. They didn't really explain, because these orbs have this power, whatever, that's inside the dolls. It's basically like what's hypnotizing these fathers to kill their family, essentially.
Right. That's exactly it. Yeah.
They never tell us how Longlegs was creating these. They just say, was it some kind of magic?
Yeah, it was movie magic.
Okay. Movie magic.
Movie magic. So apparently because he's such a like friggin' Satanist that he has this ability to transfer something into these orbs and then controls people. But now we're trying to figure out, okay, how are the dolls getting in there? At this point, they go back to the office and Agent Carter says to Lee, when was the last time you talked to your mom? And he says, because she filed a missing persons report on you when she was younger. So she went to go see her mom. Decided she was going to, like, you know, make her a sandwich and just kind of hang out. She tried asking her about it. Her mom was like, no, we don't talk about it. That's all, like, she was basically saying. But the important thing here is that she was in the kitchen. She was about to make something to eat for her mother. And she was looking at this door that was right next to the refrigerator and it was locked. So she couldn't go and check out what was in there. Now, she's lived there all her life, right? I'm assuming. Why does she not know what's down there?
Never once tried to investigate the basement in her own house.
Apparently not. So she goes up to her room and there's a chest up in her room. And in that chest, she brings it home and she looks in it and there's some photos. Turns out one of the photos is Longlegs. Apparently, when she was confronted by Longlegs at the beginning of the movie, when we almost get like the brief viewing of Longlegs' face, that was her at the beginning as a child. Mm-hmm. And she somehow managed to take a photo of Longlegs. And now, movie magic on how they found this guy, no idea. She's like, we need to go after him based on this. And they're like, okay, it might not stick, but whatever. Somehow found him. He was like getting ready to take a bus, but both sides of the road, FBI found him. Corey, how did they find him in this random ass spot, like in the middle of nowhere, waiting for a bus?
So I don't know if, because this was right after the convenience store, I believe. I don't know, man. Maybe he like called on a payphone or something. Speaking of which, fucking payphones in this movie. Completely forgot the time frame that it takes place in.
Wait, what was the time frame? It had to be an early 90s, right?
I think people were kind of guesstimating on when it might be. And I believe I read right around the 90s.
Okay.
But it'd been so long since I had seen a payphone, even in a movie or a show.
Yeah, it's fucking weird, man.
I have no idea how they found him. I just know he had his bags and he was standing on the side of the road and cops pulled up or FBI pulled up, got him.
Yeah, they just got him. I just found that to be a little bit movie magic. The only thing I could think of is that the family at that craft store or whatever, they probably had some sort of information on him. Maybe they went store to store, door to door. Like, have you seen this man? They probably went to the store and they're like, oh, yeah, we've seen that guy. He's fucking weird. He comes in here sometimes. He lives over, but like out that way. That's the only thing I can think of that would explain it. So they get long legs, bring him in for questioning, and they're watching him on video. And he's, dude, he is creepy looking. Nick Cage looks great in this.
Mm-hmm. Unrecognizable.
Unrecognizable is right, man. He looked great. He was singing like happy birthday to Lee over and over and over. And he paused and they're like, this goes on for about a half hour. Lee ends up going into the room where he was being interrogated, has to talk to him. And then she's like, who's the accomplice? Who are you working with? And he won't give it up. So then he starts smashing his face against the fucking table and he straight up looks like Red Skull from...
Yep, nose gone and everything.
Yeah, dude, his nose was gone, blood everywhere, unalives himself, and that's
it. You forgot to mention he yells, Hail Satan, before he did it.
Oh, yeah. Hail Satan! Like that. You know, yep. In the like quintessential Nick Cage yelling voice. It's always like, hi! Like, it's like a fucking... a motorcycle when you fucking go faster and it's like
yeah so, you're right actually
that's how
every time
screams.
I hear a motorcycle accelerating now I'm gonna think it's Nick Cage
not a Harley specifically like a Yamaha or something like that if you listen to a Yamaha you're gonna be like that's fucking Nick Cage driving by.
Nick Cage is fucking screaming down Elm Street right now.
You know, if I was big into motorcycles I would get one of those and just have Nick Cage's face on the front, the whole front.
You name your motorcycle Nick Cage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Think about how fucking freaky that would be. Like, sitting behind someone in traffic and they see Nick Cage's face behind them. Especially, let's say they're backing up and there's, like, a rearview camera, right? And they just see my bike with Nick Cage's face on it.
Imagine seeing Nick Cage in a car behind you.
Either way, it'd be fucking so freaky.
Mm-hmm.
So, after he's done smashing his face into smithereens, she's covered in blood because it's just fucking spraying everywhere. So the FBI agent I was mentioning earlier, which is like Carter's other partner or someone else from the FBI, she ends up driving Lee home because, you know, it was a pretty traumatic experience having someone smash their face to death in front of you.
I know. She's like seeing it all. The blood splattering all over her shirt and her face.
Yep. And here's where shit hits the fan, man. The whole movie goes bonkers.
Oh, yeah. With the big twist.
The big twist. The twist was great.
But, yep, completely unexpected.
Never thought it would happen. I did not see that coming. So we go to her mother's house, and her mother's not there. The door to the basement is open, and next thing we see, the mother roll up with a shotgun. The lady that's sitting in the car waiting for Lee blows her away. Two shots. Fucking, the lady got annihilated, man. Destroyed. So now, this is when Lee is in pursuit of her mother. Her mother is out back, has the gun, and it's pointing at a kid. Corey, these dolls are so realistic that I thought this was a child she had a gun pointed at the head of, and turns out it was just a doll again.
Yeah. Like, how is he molding porcelain to look exactly like one of these kids in the movie?
Dude, I have no idea, but they looked great. So it was a splitting image of Lee, and now some voodoo-type shit happens, man, where the mother shoots the head off of this doll, and Lee gets all lethargic. You see smoke, like a black smoke coming out of her head as well as the head of the doll, and she hits the ground. She's knocked out. Inside the head of these dolls, I think, is that orb, and it's some sort of smoke or something that connects with the person that, I don't know if maybe it's like designed for or something like that. Like if the doll is designed like someone in the family, then it's some voodoo type shit. But here, that's,
again, we talked about this before. That was one of my gripes here, because they never really explained how these orb things were hypnotizing people.
Yeah, no idea. All we knew, it had to do with some satanic shit, and that was basically it. So at this point, the mother's behind this. She's part of this whole thing with Long Legs. Long Legs didn't kill anyone. He was just the doll maker. And these dolls had the orbs in the head and would just make people do their biddings. She was just like the UPS person. She was just going to people's houses and delivering these dolls to people. And the reason why she was doing it was because Long Legs was going to kill her. And she begged to make sure that Lee was okay as a child. And in exchange, did Long Legs' bidding, basically. So she would go house to house delivering these dolls, dressed up as a nun, saying, from the church, you won this doll, here it is. And these families would start killing each other, and she would be there, making sure that all goes down as expected.
Can you imagine how many murders that woman saw?
A bunch. A whole slew of them.
Yeah.
So if anything, she's like the real Long Legs, and Long Legs is just a doll maker. He just gives her the tools that she needs to be successful. I guess they're kind of both in it. They're both kind of dicks.
Yep.
So here's where movie magic happens. They were talking about there's no forced entry, no DNA. All weapons were like self-inflicted or from one person in the family. But here's the thing though, like there should be DNA, right? From the mother, let's say a strand of hair, because hair falls out willy-nilly. It's not like, no one's hair is so perfect to the point where all hair sticks.
So that might have been the whole purpose of the nun outfit, because she's wearing a habit on her head.
Okay.
So her hair's not going to fall directly on the floor.
Okay, that would answer that. So Lee wakes up, and she's in a bed, and she's in a room with a bunch of doll-making stuff, and there's a set of stairs. She walks up the stairs. It's the kitchen that she was in. This whole time, Long Legs was living in her basement. The whole time.
When that reveal happened, I was like, no fucking way. She did not know any of this, and she's lived there at least more than half of her life.
He had to have showered at some point, maybe gone to the bathroom. You can't, like, he can't just be living there all those years and not piss or shower.
Yeah, but there could have been a toilet or a shower in the basement. I
maybe.
Mean, my house has a shower and a toilet in the basement.
I don't, but I also live in the basement.
Okay, Long Legs.
I am Long Legs.
It's me.
It's me. Come get me. Good luck.
So yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. So, or you just pissed in a corner.
Yep, pissed in a bucket. So she wakes up, she fucking hops in a car, and immediately, I was already like, I know where this is going. I know exactly what's going to happen now. So she goes to Agent Carter's house, and that's where like the birthday party's happening. She's invited in, and her mother is there, and the doll is there. And I'm like, dude, I don't know if you heard this in the theater. Everyone go, oh...
Yep.
It was,
especially the kid next to us stood straight up.
Yeah, he was like, oh fuck. Like everyone in the theater, it was a good reaction in the theater, because it was definitely gut-wrenching. It was a gut-wrenching scene, because now obviously with this doll being there, it fucks with the husband, and the wife is just her standard self, and he, you can see he's getting like angry. It's almost like Amityville Horror type style.
So you and I had, right at the beginning of the movie, when we meet this Detective Carter and his family, I looked at you and I said, that kid's going to be dead by the end of this movie. Like, I had a feeling that somehow this guy and his family were going to be involved at some point.
Yeah, you can't just introduce a whole family like that and then just throw it away. You can't. So you were almost right.
I was almost right, but this whole scene, too, had my favorite quote of the whole movie.
Oh, the, I'll be back, you won't. Is that it?
Yeah, where he was like, I'll be back. And she's like, me too. And he goes, no, you won't. You're staying in the kitchen.
Yep.
Then you heard, that was another moment where you heard the theater gasp. Everybody in the crowd was like,
yeah, because they were either like kind of chuckling because it's like, get in the kitchen. You know, that's obviously, it's a very derogatory thing to say to girls. But yeah, in this case, this was more about, you're going to fucking die in that kitchen and you're staying there. And that's exactly what happened. You could hear her getting stabbed in the background. The little girl is like a trance at this point, up against the doll, like just sitting up against the doll and looking at her while the father is hacking away at his wife.
So again, this goes back to me talking about the sound design. Like, this particular scene was probably one of the most powerful in the movie, in my opinion, because we don't see any of this. All we hear is the stabbing and the woman screaming.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we heard.
Like that slide sound? I don't know how to make that sound, but you know what I mean.
So I know what you mean. It reminds me of something you would hear in one of the Halloween movies with like Michael Myers stabbing someone.
Exactly. Just like that.
So it's that noise that we hear over and over and over again, and you just hear the woman screaming. It's gut-wrenching because you know what's happening, but you can't see it.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, everyone else is fucking calm and just standing there or sitting there, and while in the kitchen, there's a fucking murder happening. And he comes out. He's covered in blood, man. Covered.
Yeah. Did you notice that you could even hear the moment when he pulled the knife out of, like, the butcher block in the kitchen?
Yep. You heard everything.
It was so cool.
Yeah, the sound design was great for that. So he comes out, man, he's fucking covered in blood. And Lee ends up shooting him. She had to do something because he was coming at her with a knife. So she shot him. The little girl, not even phased still, because she's in that trance. And the mother then gets up, and she has this fucking dagger that is something straight out of Late Night with the Devil. Has like this fucking dagger, like this long-ass wavy dagger. And she's running at her, shoots her mom in the head.
You only see the dagger for like a split second, too.
Yep. No idea where that came from or like the symbolism behind it. Nothing. She just had it. So she gets up. She tries to stab Lee. Lee shoots her straight in the head. And there was a cool thing about this. I don't know if you saw this. It looked like a cross in her head when the bullet hole was there. Did you see that?
No, I didn't, actually.
It was like kind of a cool little extra. So I think it was just the way it split the skin. It looked like a cross in the forehead. Very cool.
Okay.
Not upside down, just regular cross. And it makes sense because she was dressed up as a nun. So, yeah. And at this point, Lee just gets the daughter out of there. The doll stays behind. And that's pretty much it. Kind of ends, not end scene, fade to black, because we get another scene of Long Legs saying, "Hail Satan!" I'm going to blow my throat out doing that. I can't do it like him.
Yeah, so I don't want to say I was disappointed with the ending. I just wanted more.
Yeah.
The way that it ended, again, you only see Lee and the little girl. It just zooms in on their face, and then boom, done. I was like, no, not that way.
So yeah, end scene, fade to black after we get a last Long Legs appearance, which was cool. I mean, it's always good to see an extra portion of Nick Cage in a movie, but that's basically it. Corey, what do you give Long Legs?
So this is an easy 5 out of 5 for me. I know your opinion is going to be a little different. We talked about it last night, but again, I wasn't looking forward to a movie as much as I was as Long Legs. Last year when we started seeing teasers, nobody knew what the teasers were. There were these little clips that just kept popping up online and nobody knew what they were.
Right.
Eventually led to the first Long Legs trailer. Again, this was a whole year ago. Anyways, like Nick Cage and Micah Monroe are incredible. You know, both of them should be like talked about in Oscar nominations for this. Sound design, cinematography was a masterclass. I think Oz Perkins is really going to blow up after this film because he's done a ton of shit before this. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there's a movie that I enjoy called The Black Coat's Daughter, which was a great example of how brilliant this guy is. And I really can't wait to see more of him. You should watch The Black Coat's Daughter. It actually has Kieran Shipkin in it.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. So yeah, I could see a lot of good coming out of this for this director because it was a good movie. It was really good. He did a lot of cool stuff in it. Everything kind of tied together real nicely, except for further clarification would have been nice on the orbs. So for me, I went with a 4 out of 5 on this one. It was good, but I think it fell more on the lines of a thriller as opposed to a horror, which is fine. But with thrillers too, they kind of toe that line between almost like action thriller and horror thriller. I would consider it horror anyways, but I felt like more thriller than anything.
I'll agree with that. It wasn't necessarily a horror movie at all.
Yeah. So I don't think it was really a horror movie, but some people could say it was a horror movie because of the serial killer aspect, which serial killers are a scary thing. So it makes sense that it could fall on the lines of horror. So Nick Cage looked awesome. He was essentially unrecognizable. Micah Monroe as Lee was great. I feel like I don't see her enough, especially how awesome she was in It Follows. Fantastic movie. Great movie. I love that movie. I think I may need a second viewing of this. Not on the ridiculous screen at the theater. Maybe I would have a different take on it, but I went with a 4 out of 5 for now. Thought it was good, but I think maybe I need to watch it again. I might change my tune.
I think you will if you get the full screen experience.
I think so too. Because I think I had a hard time seeing it with how fucking weird it was. Because there was someone in front of me whose head was cutting off the bottom as well. So, so I'm like, balloon damn head. It.
You had Arnold sitting in front of you?
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Yeah. And the whole time I'm
you
just like.
You got that reference, right?
Hey, Arnold.
Okay, good.
Okay. So I'm just sitting there plowing through popcorn, by the way. And
oh, my God.
I didn't even talk about lips. This. My lips were fucking toast. Oh, man. Like, they were...
Well,
go ahead.
You got a large popcorn, and we were splitting it. I had maybe 2-3 handfuls, yeah, and you ate the rest of a large on your own.
I was the whole bag nearly by myself, and it's a large. Obviously, large popcorn bags at theaters are no fucking joke. I mean, you're paying for... It's expensive. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like you're getting your money's worth of popcorn in those fucking ginormous bags. So I was plowing through this thing, and there was so much salt that my lips were like, no more. I'm done. That's it. And I'm just pounding like fistfuls of popcorn in my mouth watching this thing. And oh, I was so dehydrated, man. I had to fucking pound water afterward.
I was going
to
say, what color is your piss today?
It is fucking clear as day.
All right, you're back on track.
Back on track. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans. Welcome, everyone, to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing, and we've been wanting to see this one for a little while now, ever since it was actually introduced. The movie's called Long Legs. It's written and directed by Oz Perkins, starring Hail Satan. What? Did I fuck that up?
I don't know where that came from.
Where did that come from? There's the blooper. Why is that in there? Okay. Starring, oh my God. Jesus.
The tears are already flowing.
Oh, no. Oh, no. All right. Corey, help me pronounce this one. Is it Micah?
It's Micah.
Okay. Starring Micah Monroe as Agent Lee Harker, Nick Cage, Long Legs, or Some Girls Look... Wait, I put this in last night. All right. Nick Cage... Long Legs, or Some Girls Into His Look, let's call him Daddy Long Legs, and Blair Underwood as Agent Carter. What? Okay. I'm going to read this all over again.
Okay.
Because this is a hot fucking mess. What? Why is Hail Satan in here so much? Did you throw this in to fuck with me?
I would never do that.
Yes, you would. Okay, we got problems. We got serious problems right now.
Read the script.
I'm going to fucking read it as is now. Now that I've gotten rid of the Hail Satan, why is Hail Satan in there again? Corey, stop it. This is going to be a long-ass blooper.
Oh, God. I can't breathe.
Corey, you're fucking freaking me out for a second. I'm like, I didn't put that in last night. Why is that in again? Why is it in a third time? Hail Satan 3 times. Uh-oh. He's putting in more. Okay.